problem we look about is the topic. So I'd like to continue a little bit. We were talking about learning different dimensions because we said getting closer to Shavuos. And Shavuos said that you gotta get into learning. And also, someone was in Kufa talking to me today. Thank you very much, whoever it was, about the idea of learning and remembering what you learned. So a little bit to focus on that dimension, though a lot of what we're saying is focuses on other dimensions also. Meaning, just an introduction, we basically believe that there are two different mitzvahs on learning Torah. Some people say that's why we have two brachas, Birchas HaTorah. That's how we have a Ian Seder and a Bekiah Seder, according to some people, maybe not. But that's why maybe it's a two brothers. It's not exactly so clear what the two mitzvahs are. Rabbi Israel says, explains the two mitzvahs. One is the Higisa B'Yom V'Laila, and one is the Shinantin V'Necha. Different mitzvahs, but the idea seems to be, in a rough vein, is just one mitzvah to learn. And in that mitzvah to learn, the more you amkis and iyun, you learn, it's a better learning. That mitzvah, even if the guy's senile and he doesn't remember a word, that's a mitzvah to learn. But there's another mitzvah to know kol ha'derech kula. It's a special mitzvah of nishinantin of anecha shiyed zevetar mechudadin v'ficha, which means to know it. Now, know it doesn't just mean bekiyas, know it means to know it deeply, sharply, be'iyun. Kufa of Israel says from there we don't have the mitzvah of iyun, interestingly. But the ma'isa, there's a mitzvah of knowing Torah. So the question I want to focus on is the very frustrating fact that many people learn, and after especially many years, they find that the more they learn, the more they forget, right? That's a common line, that they forget. Most 90% of what they learn, they seem to forget. Right? So even if you forget everything, it's a mitzvah, it's a mishnah, it's a medrash in I think it's Tazria. The Midrashim in Tazria about learning Torah, they say they put them there so that because it's very hard to say Shmuzim in Tazria, so some very nice Midrashim on learning. And they bring there a marshal about a person. It says a person who was, the king told them to pour water into a barrel, and for every bucket he pours in, he gets a tremendous reward. And someone goes by and sees a guy just sitting there doing nothing. He said, "You idiots, you're getting such tremendous reward. Why aren't you pouring the water in?" He says, "I can't because there's a hole at the bottom of the barrel. So everything I pour in just spills out." So the guy says, "What do you care? You're not getting being paid for what stays in. You're getting paid for how many buckets you pour in." So what are you? That's the king's problem. There's a hole in the bottom of the barrel, but you're getting paid for pouring in. So the Medrash says with Pharisee that even if the guy has a hole in the bottom of his barrel and he forgets everything he learns, there's a tremendous char for learning Torah. Over in Amaisa, notwithstanding that, and it would be nice if we remember. So the question is, how do we get ourselves to remember more? So I think there are three different answers and three different areas of working. If we can hopefully I'll remember. I'm trying right now, I just forgot what the three were. It's not a joke. But hopefully we'll work it out. Okay. There is a sefer. There was about called Toldos Adam, which is a sefer about Rav Zalman Mivolozhin. Zalman Mivolozhin was the Graz, Rav Chaim Volozhin's younger brother. There's a maisa. Rav Zalman Mivolozhin was one of the world's greatest bekiyim. He was nifter very young, in his 20s, I think. He had amazing bekiyim. The story goes that the Rav Chaim Volozhin was once talking about his brother's bekiyus and was basically saying how his brother knew everything about that. Bavli, Yishalmi, Sifra, Sifri, Medrash, basically all the Gemaras and Rishayim, I don't know about Achrayim, but all the basic Svarim, he basically knew Baal Peh. So someone was sitting there and said that if that's the case, if he had such amazing Bikiyas, it's only in his 20s, he was like a little bit like the Bikiyas of the Gra. So Rav Chaim Volozhin said, Chas v'shalom, my brother could have been alive another 100 years and he wouldn't have come near the Bikiyas of the Gra. He says, why? He said, because my brother knew everything frontwards, but the Gra knew it so well that he could say everything backwards. He says, most people, they can't say, if you know something really, really well, you experiment. If you know the Pasuk of Shema Yisrael, the first Pasuk, it could be you can say it backwards. Because you know it so well, you can say it backwards. More than that, I doubt very many people could do Kriya Shema backwards. The first Pasuk, it could be you have a chance. He says, the Gra knew Kol HaTorah Kula is so clear that he could say the whole thing backwards. So then, already, okay, anyway, that's just to get us depressed. But the Maisa, the Zalman had this phenomenal Bikiyus. So it says in the Sefer, Toldos Adam, it explains why he had such a tremendous Bikiyus. So it says it was not solely, I assume he did, it was born with a very good memory. I assume so. He says it wasn't just that. It was that, he says as follows, that there's a din in human nature, and we say this all the time, that most people only use at any given moment a small fraction of your brain. But if your brain is on top alert, your brain works hundreds of times better. Right? And that was, you will find, for example, people, even who don't have great memory, but let's say a guy went through the Shoah and so was about to be killed and a miracle happened and he got saved. He will be able to repeat over 50 years later exactly what happened with all the details and all the nuances and this guy, all the names of the people and this guy and that guy who was wearing a red coat and a white sock. I've heard it many times. People, there are certain highlights of people's lives that they know they can remember, because at that moment they were on top mental alert. This was chasha. This is, their whole life was totally on this. The same thing I mentioned. Now people who I met people who met the Chafetz Chaim like one time, and they would remember everything the Chafetz Chaim told them, because it made such a roshim on them. Their brain was on top alert. So it says there in this Sefer that Rav Zalman, when he learned Torah, he felt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sitting next to him. He's learning the Torah Hashem. You know what that is? You know the Kedusha of Torah, the Chashivas of Torah. He says if you approach Torah with that attitude, it's guaranteed your memory will be better. Because you're not just when you read a book, when a novel, very often you forget it. It goes in one ear and out the other. Because you just relax. Your brain's like, you're not machshav it. But when you're machshav to something, you don't have to tell yourself, remember. It's automatic. When your brain's on top alert, because this is super chashav, you remember. That's what it said in the Sefer. It said one of the reasons that Rav Zalman had such a tremendous memory is because he was machshav, what he learned so much. Which means, I guess the application for us is two applications. First application is in general we should try and have general chashivas for Torah. And I have to throw in peeve. Okay, that sounds right. Is that when a guy sits on learning, so there are certain physical, there are certain ways of learning which by definition speak that I'm not much of Torah so much. And the native affects your whole learning, right? You sit like this. It's right. It's very hard to be. It's not that your brain can't concentrate, but this is not chashuv, right? Here, for the tape record, we are lying down. Okay. Anyway, but that's not my pet peeve. My pet peeve is guys who take off their shoes. Right? When you take off your shoes, I do not believe you can feel the same degree of chashivas. It's more comfortable with this or that. There's a little bit of a shah of the base medrash. It's not covered in base medrash. but it's a lack. If you felt you're doing this is Kedusha and this is Kadosh Baruch Hu sitting here with you, you have a threesome Chavrusa, you and your Chavrusa and a Kadosh Baruch Hu on the other side of the table, I don't know, you can't take off your shoes. No. Anyway, that's a little personnel for those who are bossy to start up with some people. Okay, anyway, so that's the first thing. The first thing is we have to, in general, increase our chashivas of learning. But that's very hard, I admit. That's a little hard. But there's a second trick, which is this extension of the first. I heard this from Rabbi Blazer Fleshinsky, that's out. Rabbi Blazer said the following story. He said that he was learning in the Mir in Europe. Around the 30s, this was in the 30s, late 30s. And he says, the Mir had a minhag that Ravelva was considered one of the Gedolei HaDor. Ravelva was the Rav of Brisk, one of Rav Chaim's sons. He did not have the yeshiva, he was the Rav of the city. He was considered one of the Gedolei HaDor. So what he said, there were five yeshivas in Europe that they would send the two best guys. It was like a very tremendous privilege. They would send the two best guys to Brisk to learn for his math. And they would learn with Ravelva. Ravelva put 10 guys up, and they would learn with Ravelva around the dining room table. I think it was five, maybe it was four, whatever. There'd be a little group, and they would learn around the dining room table with Ravelva. And it was a tremendous, it was viewed, it was built up, like this is the biggest golden opportunity of your life. You're going to go to learn in Ravelva, privately, a small group of 10 guys. Wow. And he said everyone was like, you know, but competing. And when you got chosen to learn with Ravelva, it was like amazing. So he says the guys who went to Ravelva, he says they only learned one Zman, but when they came back, they were leaps and bounds ahead of where they started. And he says it wasn't so. It was amazing that he said it. He says in retrospect, it wasn't just like that. Ravelva's shirim were so gevaldic. Because isn't that gevaldic? They had pretty big gaonim in the Mir also. But it was the psychology, the way they built it up. It was the educational trick that they built up going to Ravelva so much. Obviously, Ravelva was gevaldic, but there was the build up that when you went there, I'm going to learn by this Gadol HaDor, just me and him around the dining room table. I was chosen from the whole yeshiva Mir for this opportunity. I'll never get it again. It's once in a lifetime. He says, you went with such enthusiasm that Memeda, you grew phenomenally. Which means as follows, a guy, you have to be able to get yourself psyched up. You gotta be, right, pumped. Right? You gotta go ahead, you go to Rabbi Harris this year, right, the Masha. You gotta be able to feel, get yourself psyched up. Rabbi Harris is a super chashuv, and this is, and I only have 1 year in his share, and if I don't, this is my once opportunity in my lifetime, if I don't do it, And to some extent, you gotta do that here too. Whichever share you're in, even if you're in my share, right? You got to somehow, there's a tremendous thing. A guy can go ahead and get himself pumped up that this is a golden opportunity. When you do that, you gain so much more. It's a trick. If you can pump yourself up for all learning, that's what Solomon did, that's the best thing. But if you can't, at least you feel, I know myself, I say this all the time, that the first shmuzim I heard from Rosh Hashiva, I remembered years afterwards, 10, 20 years, 30. But the latter shmuzim, I don't remember as well, because after hearing shmuzim for 15 years, and I was in yeshiva for whatever, a while, after a while you started losing, you weren't machshavim as much. Oh, I heard a shmuz already. The shmuz I heard, my first shmuzim, I could remember it for 15 years. And the last shmuz, I could forget them after a day. Because I didn't come in with the same excitement to hear the shmuz. Heard it already. So there's you gotta, when a person goes with an attitude, if he's pumped, you remember it much more. Anyway, I really think that's one of the key ingredients of memory. And success in learning, it's not just that, all success in learning, is you gotta get yourself excited. You gotta, even if it's tricking yourself, to make yourself believe that you have a golden opportunity now that you'll never get again. The truth is, it's not really tricking yourself. But if you want to trick yourself, fine. That is a golden, you'll never get it again. and therefore you pumped up your brain, then your brain works much better. Okay, so that's one way. One way is getting yourself more excited about the learning, your brain more, getting your brain to work better. Okay. There are other ways, in the learning process, obviously, that just, there are certain ways of learning that help for the memory. Speaking things out obviously helps for the memory. Being the one reading the words out loud helps for memory. Organizing the material at the end of this, when you finish learning something, to organize it in your brain is very helpful. You know, there's you when you learn the keys, but it's just a lot of information, so you gotta organize it, put it together. Is a tremendous is a help. Being concentration is very often. I used to find when I did Mishnah Berurah Seder, my first year I did Mishnah Berurah, I didn't remember a word. So because I learned it too fast, so then afterwards I started trying to do it more be'ian, not because I wanted be'ian, just I wanted to concentrate on it. By concentrating on things, you remember it better. Also, taking notes forces you to organize it, and it's a chazara, and it's a right. So that there's the way you learn is also helpful for memory. Okay. So that's, I don't know if that's one type of helping your memory. If while you're learning, the way you learn with motivation, commitment, organizing, speaking out, whatever. Okay. The second etza for helping the memory is a very simple thing. Is that there is such a thing. I remember my first year of teaching. It sounds funny, but it's true. My first year of teaching, I had a guy who was a very smart guy, and he used to ask good questions. And I would answer them. And I think I used to give good answers. And when I finished, I would ask him, "Do you understand the answer?" He said, "I hear what you say, but I don't remember what I asked." Drive me crazy. The guy claimed he had no memory. It's not a joke. He claimed he didn't remember what he asked, and it all the time. In those years, and I was very ambitious. I used to give tests. Then I got clobbered because guys don't like tests. The guy would tell me he can't take a test because he can't remember anything. In other words, and it was true, the guy managed to remember anything. But I believe very strongly, and I told him that if Pshat is, it's all in your training. Meaning, it's like any other muscle. People get a muscle, you get stronger when you exercise a muscle. Your brain, obviously some people have better memory than others. Some people, but your memory gets, if you don't use it, of course you won't have a memory. This guy doesn't remember anything because he doesn't use his memory, because he convinced himself he doesn't have a memory, so he never uses memories. You have a muscle that you don't use, it dies on you. The more you use a muscle, the stronger it becomes. The raya bruta that's true is people who lay. Most people who lay when they're bar mitzvah, they have to spend 6 months whatever learning the parsha, and it's very hard, whatever, some people harder than others. But then, after they learn to do it, they after a while, they can do a parsha in a few hours. And what happened? The shot is that the brain got used to remembering this thing. It got used to remembering new notes. It got used to remembering tunes. Okay, it could be you can ask a parakha, but to some extent that's true. A better raya, which I remember in Israel, they were very, very big on Mishnayos Baal Peh. And many of my kids, especially my older son, was very big into Mishnayos Baal Peh. And I remember the first day the Rebbe assigned Mishnayos Baal Peh, he had to memorize one Mishnah. It was torture. He can't do it, I can't do it. I spent hours with him, he had to go over it, and he couldn't do one Mishnah. At the end of maybe a year or two, he was doing Masechtas after Masechtas. Now, why? There's no, maybe laning, you know, the music, certain, natural tunes. There's nothing, if you can't, once, there's nothing natural. If you know one Mishnah, nobody should know another Mishnah. But his brain learns to memorize a Mishnah. It's some kind of skill. Your brain learns it. Just like your brain learns to concentrate. You go to shir, you learn to concentrate, and then you can concentrate after shir, right? You learn a skill. Your brain learns a skill of memory. So one of the ways of increasing memory is exercising your memory. The more you exercise the memory, the more it better becomes. So Google, working on memorizing things, having a system that I'm trying to memorize the Gemara, and then saying it over, testing yourself. It's a terrible thing. We don't get tests in yeshiva, but guys again would revolt. But testing yourselves, creating hechrechim. Maybe I'm jumping the gun because it gets into the other way too. But when I used to have a thing, my parents lived about 10 blocks away from the yeshiva, and I used to walk home. See, I actually walk home for supper. My mother, Ada Hashem, insisted I come home for supper, so I just have a good meal. So I used to walk home every time from 6:30. I used to leave 6:30 Seder ended. From 6:30 to 6:35, when everyone went to supper, I stayed usually in the Beis Medrash, and I quickly looked over the Bekiyas that we learned that day. Then the 10 minutes I walked home, walking back, 20 minutes, I used to chazer the Shakta Vitaya, all the Gemara. Either that day and a few days before, and I was able to do it. After a while, it was hard. And also I made it back usually by 7:30. Just at around. I was testing, I'm practicing my brain to be able to say over 2, 3, 4 blocks, whatever it is, straight. Not the words of the Gemara, but every step. Now, I don't know if that's the right eitzah. Maybe it wasn't right, but it was a practice of, I was trying to practice my memory, that I can remember. There's 20 steps. I want to remember all the steps. A, B, for C, he said this, he said this, he said this. There's practice. Memory gets better through practice. The more you practice your memory, now there are different ways of practicing. You don't have to take my way. But the skill of developing your memory is by using it, just like any other mental muscle and physical muscle. So that's number two. So skill number two is, number one is the way you learn. Number two is you got to exercise your memory. Okay. Number three is that there are certain things that people do, like a chazara. A chazara are special tricks to help you remember the material. Right? And the first one was just, the second one was like general, you're exercising your memory. The third one is not, you don't have to exercise your memory, just you chazar something 50 times, you're more likely to remember it. Not so much as you're exercising your memory, which is, although it's been made, but you're working on it. So there are different ways of chazaring, and you got to pick whichever way you like. The standard way in the yeshiva of chazaring, the yeshiva used to say it was Rav David's system. I don't know, it's a very Rav David. We used to do it. A lot of guys in yeshiva used to do it in Kew Garden Hills and Forest Hills. They used to let you do it the first hour of morning seder if you started at breakfast. Not hour of morning seder. They had some rule that you were, I don't know, it's the time. I don't remember exactly how they set it up. But basically, it was supposed to take like an hour a day. And we're supposed to do 3 blad a day. Days Gimel Dawid, and the next day you do Gimel Dawid Hey, and the next day you do Dawid Hey Vav. So that what ends up is that you do every blot 3 times. You do it with Rashi, with Titus, I don't remember. I don't think this I think if for an hour it's too hard to do it with taisis. Maybe one plant you can do with taisis, maybe not even. But the maybe some taisis. But the idea is you do every day three blat, and you do comes out, except the first 2 days you gotta be a little, you know, you can't do it. But after the first 2 days you can get started. Every day you do three blat, two blat old and one blat new. So the two blat old goes very fast, especially if you're not doing taisis, not even Rashi, just because you just read it yesterday. And the one blat new, that one you go a little slower, you look at the Rashi, you look at a quick glance at taisis, and that takes a little longer. And it used to take about an hour a day. That was pretty much, I remember. About an hour a day, you did three blat a day, and what we used to do is, we used to make a little chart, so that way you make sure you did it, and you know, a little chart, and every day you checked off the pages you did, you know, and that was the system. That was supposedly Rav David's system of Chazara. Many guys in yeshiva used to do that system. That was the system that yeshiva used to advocate. That's a good system. Rabbi Turk and Rabbi Jacobson were very big fans of a different system, which I heard other people are a big fan. What happened is that Rabbi Jacobson had a brother-in-law who learned in Mountaindale by a very big gadol, which I forgot his name. Rabbi Davis? What? Rabbi Davis. Okay. Anyway, so Rabbi Davis told them, and when they went to visit him for Shabbos, he advocated a different Seder system. He advocated a system is that you write down, after you learn, you write down a concise, like a riff, of the main points. You can even have the highlights of the Rashi and Tosis. But it's basically you consolidate into very short, but the highlights of the whole of the Gemara, and then you read over that notebook 50 times because it's consolidated. So you can do that. You can read over one blat, can be written over, because you only write the highlights, and it could be sometimes two or three lines. Sometimes more, sometimes less. So if you're able to write over one blat and two or three lines, the whole Masechta can be, you can chazer the whole Masechta in a few hours. And I had someone, not exactly a relative, my father remarried, so his wife's son, named David Elbaum, he's a very chashuv person, so he's very, very big on the system. I went to Mary, took out a notebook, said, "This is the whole Masechta Shabbos, and this is the whole Masechta Brachos." And I said, "I know it's cold." He said, "I was learning for years." He said, "Really, he's been learning his whole life. He's older than me, much older than me." He says, "You know, that's his really system." He says, "When I first was learning, I was so frustrated, I didn't remember anything. Now I have this system, I remember, you know, everything, you know." He's so excited. He used to go around to different yeshivas. So that's a different system, that of the writing down. That was Rabbi David's system. We were by Rabbi Zon in Israel last year. Those who were there. So I remember, I don't know if he said it last year. I think he might have said it. He said it? He said that he was staying by his son in America, and he had to walk to shul, and the shul was, I don't remember, maybe 10 minutes away. So he says before he walked to shul, he looked over the Gemara that he was learning, a few blocks, and he summarized it that there are 5 or 10 main highlights in this Gemara. And in the 10 minutes that he walked to shul, he said over those highlights 100 times. He says, Chazal say you're supposed to chazer 100 times. He says, who can ever chazer 100 times? He says, I chazer 100 times. Because by limiting it just to those highlights, and then taking 10 minutes to say over, you know, say over the highlights, I can chazer 100 times. Right? It's very different than Rashiva's system. Rashiva's system was, you took an hour doing the Gemara 3 times, and he would say then that 1 hour you can do the highlights 100 times. Okay, depends. I don't have any indication which way is better. And then you can have the system that I mentioned before of, you know, trying to memorize the Shakta of the Tarya, which is a different system. Anyway, so those are, I do not know. I'm sure there are other systems too. But those are different systems of Chazar. So just to summarize the Chazar, so we remember. So we want to say that there are three different things you need for memory. First is you have to learn properly while you're learning. Otherwise it goes in one ear and out the other. So the degree of chashivas that you give to the learning, you have to psych yourself out that this is a golden opportunity. Your brain has to be on top alert. You have to be sitting, you know, that you're chitzonius in that way. So obviously speaking out, organizing it. And if you can't organize it, how can you remember something? I used to learn with Moshe Dov Harris, who's now that's the third Harris, one that's in Israel. He in Bekia Seder, he used to take off in Bekia Seder, it was like an hour a week that he wouldn't learn with me, and he has to organize. He has to organize the Bekias. You know, we learn until 2 blatt, okay. We don't go weit and we finish the 2 blatt. It's more than an hour a week. He used to have a Seder that he would in the middle of the Kiyas Seder that he's now organizing the Gemara, organizing in his brain. Okay. And I think very strongly that writing notes is a way of organizing it for many people. So that's one, is how you learn. Two is you gotta exercise your memory. You gotta practice trying to remember things. The more you exercise your memory, the better your memory will become, which is a simple rule of like a muscle. And the third thing is you gotta do chazara. And whichever system of chazara you wanna take, they're all, I assume, good. Okay.